Proud to be the radio station you come home to. This is KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Protect yourself and your loved ones. Shooting Stars Gun. Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning and welcome to God Talk. I think this would be a good time to talk about optimism. Wow, there's a lot of pessimism going around these days. Let me begin with God and optimism. You know, I suppose you could say that God is the eternal optimist. Eternal optimist. Because nothing is impossible for God, therefore, God can continue changing things until God gets exactly what God wants. Think about that. That means God will hopefully continue working on us. You know, if you've ever seen those little cards or plaques, God, be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. All right? We'll keep working on us until we become the person that God created us to be. Truly, only God can put a period at the end of the sentence about you or me. You and I may want to say, well, so-and-so's this way and is always going to be that way, but God puts a comma, a semicolon, a colon, a dash. God isn't finished with us. When you look in Genesis, you know, we were such a disappointment to God that God, in Genesis 6, considered eradicating us. I mean, you could look at it this way. If God became a pessimist about us, we are really in a lot of trouble. But fortunately, God found Noah and his family and decided, well, I'll give you another shot. And that's kind of what the Bible's all about, really, about God's optimism, God's long-suffering. No, you're going to become what it is I want you to become, and I'm not going to give up on you. Until you do, God has been called long-suffering. Now, as a Christian, I may be a short-term pessimist, but I'm a long-term optimist. Do you agree? You know, things could get a lot worse. I don't know. You know, if you read Revelation, there's some really bad things afoot as there are here in our world today. So short-term, things could get worse, but long-term, God's in control. I prefer to be an optimist. What is an optimist? Well, one definition is that an optimist is one who believes things cannot get worse. Well, I don't like that definition because I'm an optimist, and that definition would make me a fool, an optimism foolish. And let me tell you, optimism is anything but foolish. For me, my definition of an optimist is one who believes that no matter how bad things get, things will eventually get better. No matter what happens next week in the White House, however many strange things may come about, changes in one day, things may get worse, but eventually they will get better. An optimist is one who refuses to let go of hope. And the God of hope, and to let go of the conviction that, yeah, there may be current darkness and storminess, but there's a dawn still coming. And if the dawn should not fully eradicate the darkness, the storminess, an optimist believes that the light will make them more bearable. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky. That may not be the exact words, but there's a song from the musical Carousel. Every time I hear that song, I have tears. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. That is a great song of hang in there, be optimistic. Or the same thing climb every mountain, forage every stream. Another great, great song from another musical. An optimist is convinced that darkness and storminess will ultimately pass away, and the sun will ultimately return. And once life's uglies, or at least this crop of life's uglies, are past, an optimist refuses to dwell on them, which is a form of A, not letting them go, got to hold on to it, and B, inviting the storms, the ugliness, to come back, to return by our very focus upon it. An optimist is too busy enjoying the beauty of what is now emerging. The often quoted saying that an optimist is one who calls, you know, the glass half full of water, whereas the pessimist says it's half empty. You know, both are true. That's always, well, wait a minute. Both are true, right? The glass is half full, and it is also half empty. Both views offer a legitimate perspective on what is real. Now, the question is not which is the real, not which is the truth, since both are true. The question is, which way do you want to fix your gaze? What do you want to look at? You want to look at the emptiness, or you want to look at the fullness? That is always your choice. Nobody but you can decide how you're going to see your life. Just as we become like that with which we associate, so we become like that with which we choose to dwell upon. It's not reality, but our attitude which determines whether we praise or curse what is before us. And I've done both, I have to confess. Optimists find reasons to rejoice, pessimism, and pessimists find reasons to complain. One of my favorite stories about a genuine optimist was a guy from Des Moines, Iowa. He died unexpectedly at an early age, and he apparently had a very large funeral. I didn't know the gentleman, but one of my best friends was a friend of his, and he told me his story. You know, he just was this perpetual optimist, and if he affected people around him with his positivity. Anyway, this friend of mine, who knew and cherished this man, said he was the most positive person he had ever met. He told me the story of a business meeting with this man and several others that took place during a nasty, rainy, snowy, sleeting day like we had here recently. Well, the people arrived, this is downtown Des Moines, wet, cold, and grumpy, complaining about the weather, which Iowans really enjoy doing. I seem to always find a reason to talk about it. Anyway, when this man arrived, even though he was as wet and cold as others, he was smiling and jovial. Someone asked him how he could be so positive in the light of the abominable weather. And what he said has just been one of those things to memorize. He said, "You bring your weather with you." You bring your weather with you. Ever seen, if you use this imagery, someone walking toward you who's in a thunderstorm? You can almost see the dark clouds above their head, and they're just raining down. You look at their face, and they're just negative. Anyway, this guy's remark, "You bring your weather with you," silenced the complaining, my friend said, and turned the meeting into something surprisingly positive and productive. These are words to think about today. You take your weather with you. An optimist brings weather that is always somehow satisfactory. If it is dark, the stars are burning bright. If it is rainy, it's good for the soil as well as the soul. If it is stormy, it excites and elevates the heart. If it is desert dry, it helps us better appreciate the rain when it returns. though you are not in charge of the weather outside. Like it or not, you determine the weather inside. And the Holy Spirit of God, if you just invite in and be open, will always turn your darkness into light, no matter where. Because, as Paul says, we know that in everything God works for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Now, that being said, let's confess, boy, is it easy to be a pessimist. Just watch television and the news, whether it's, quote, fake or not, and all that seems to mean, from continuing radical terrorists, the threats, global warming to global eradication with North Korea, to say nothing of what I've already brought up, which is the situation at the White House. We are awash with plaguing issues. Now, as an optimist, I would say the best thing about the evil that's coming down, wherever you are politically, and it doesn't matter whether you are, quote, Democrat or Republican, and I've voted for both, you hate to see what's going on in Washington. Well, there's a line from Yeats' poem, The Second Coming, that says, "The best lack all conviction, while the worst have passionate intensity." The best lack all conviction, while the worst have passionate intensity. So the evil that is being manifested in Washington is arousing the good. Like the Woman's March that changed the paradigm. These are good things. Good people are standing up and being counted. We need to look at that as something that's good, but unfortunately, it sometimes takes the manifestation of evil to arouse us to do good. Still, it's easier to be a pessimist than an optimist. Safer to assume the worst. That is, again, what a pessimist does. Assumes that if things can get worse, they will. In the midst of plenty, a pessimist points toward potential poverty. And if things do get worse, if poverty does replace plenty, a pessimist can say, "There, I told you so. I warned you that this would happen." I've never met a pessimist who enjoyed being one, or actually who enjoyed life, for that matter. Pessimists are typically people who have been wounded, who have suffered various disappointments in life. They seem to have decided that that they would rather suffer most anything else, including their own daily negativity and its impact on their health and relationships, than experience possible future disappointments. Here it is. Pessimists seem to have decided it is better not to believe in the good than to be disillusioned by its apparent absence. Better not to love than to love and lose. I understand that sentiment. The problem is, their very lack of belief prevents others from proving them wrong. Negativity can accept only itself, can't accept anything but itself, anything but negative outcomes, since they have such difficulty believing in life's possible positive potential. They're looking toward the possibility of daily failure, looking for it, seeing it. I told you. Their negativity propels them to refute any evidence to the contrary. Pessimists are too busy expecting the bad to look for, to recognize, and to trust the good. I think this is a good place to listen to the weather optimistically, right?
Home to. This is KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Protect yourself and your loved ones. Shooting Stars Gun Range offers a defense pistol training class where you'll learn the basics like how to sweep your home for an intruder, different options for carrying concealed weapons, and a whole lot more. Concealed to carry classes are also available. Stop by Shooting Stars Gun Range, Muscatine's only indoor shooting range, across from the railroad tracks just behind South End Happy Joe's. Call 263-0704.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Overcast today with a chance for snow. High temperatures reach up to 23. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Snow likely. Lows dip down to about 10. Mainly cloudy tomorrow. 10. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tonight. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
KWPC, your radio station.
Okay, we're back. Well, pessimists don't just stop being pessimistic. They usually like to spread their pessimism around like manure on a field. It's as if they're not really satisfied unless others share their tainted viewpoint. Perhaps it is true that aphorism that misery loves company, especially the pessimist self-induced brand of misery. The misery that seems to require the justifying and sustaining fuel offered by others if they will share that pessimism. Perhaps others feeling the same way pessimists do validates that their viewpoint as being true. Others sharing their feelings means they're not crazy, and they're not so alone. Another reason I think pessimists seek others to join them in their negativity is as simple as it is diabolic. If they can succeed at making others miserable, then they don't have to look around to see the happiness of others. Ooh. Which might make them feel even more miserable, even more alone. I mean, I've seen it. People who are miserable don't like to see people who are happy. It makes them feel even worse. Once pessimism has set root in the soul, it's about as difficult to eradicate as weeds in the soil of a garden. But there are some effective herbicides. In addition to turning to God, to say with the Father to Jesus, I believe, help me in my unbelief. God, give me greater faith. God, give me greater hope. Help me in my negativity. Chief among the things we can do is to realize how fatiguing it is to be negative. To gain the pained realization of the personal and social cost to you of pessimism. You get tired of it. Just get tired of it. Second is the desire for a more positive way of living, together with the longing for inner peace and the satisfaction a positive framework can bring, which is what Jesus seeks to give to us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. All will be well eternally. That's the message of Jesus, and that's the bottom line for optimists. All will be well eternally. So to alleviate pessimism, practice looking for the good in things daily, even hourly. Begin each morning by visualizing positive outcomes and by convincing yourself that satisfying encounters with others will likely come about during that very day. Decide what good thing you can believe for that day, and what good thing you can do for that day, especially for another or others, and then believe in it all that day. Believe in positive cycles. Good thoughts usually lead to good results, which in turn will confirm those good thoughts. It's a positivity cycle. The one reinforces and strengthens the other and takes some joy with you. Trusting you'll meet others only too glad to share your joy with you. Yeah. Don't you want to be around people who are joyful? It's like saying, hey, shine a little bit of that on me, will you? There's probably no better statement about positivity than what Paul says in Philippians from the 4th chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Be positive in God, our God, who is the eternal optimist and will grant you the optimism like the beautiful rays of a warming sun. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Again, a reason for positivity. Do not worry about anything. Not anything, right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But Paul's not done there. Here is one of the great statements about an optimistic viewpoint, how we're going to see the world. This begins at verse 8. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Wow. That's even better than saying the glass is half full. I'm going to repeat that. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these. Wow. I got some great quotes about optimism. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. How are you going to improve your world today? What's stopping you? Nothing but you. This one, I got to say, is by Churchill, one of my heroes. A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. For myself, I'm an optimist. It does not seem to be much use to be anything else. I'm going to repeat that. That is just great. A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. For myself, I'm an optimist. It doesn't seem to be much use to be anything else. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. The optimist proclaims that we live in the best of all possible worlds, and the pessimist fears this is true. Think about that a bit. And this is from Gandhi. Keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts become your words. Keep your words positive because your words become your behavior. Keep your behavior positive because your actions become your habits. Keep your habits positive because your habits become your values. Keep your values positive because your values become your destiny.
Wow.
Gandhi also said, "Man often becomes what he believes himself to be. If I keep on saying to myself that I cannot do a certain thing, it is possible that I may end up by really becoming incapable of doing it. On the contrary, if I have the belief that I can do it, I shall surely acquire the capacity to do it, even if I may not have it at the beginning." Let me tell you something I did when I used to teach psychology at Iowa Wesleyan College. Every semester I taught, and I was there 4 years, I would always teach introduction to psychology, sometimes with more than 100 students. And during the section on suggestibility, positive and negative thinking, I would say, okay, here's what I want you to do. I'd have the kids sit with their hands on their thighs, feet square in the ground, and I'd say, close your eyes. And then I would kind of do a meditation where I would say, I would tell them, okay, you're going to become paralyzed, but you're still going to be able to breathe, all right? That's fine. I just want you to experience this. Okay, so I'd say, well, your legs are becoming numb, blah, blah, and then your ankles. And I would just go on and on and on. And your hands, your arms, you are unable to move. And I'd go on this way. And then I would suddenly insert, now, with your right hand index finger, scratch the tip of your nose. Nobody did it. So I'd say it again. And nobody would do it. And then I'd say, okay, wake up, open your eyes. Do you realize just what happened? Because you didn't believe you could move, you didn't try. Because you believed you couldn't. Wow. Powerful. Dwell on the beauty of life. Watch the stars and see yourself running with them. You'll never find a rainbow if you keep looking down. That's something, right? Yeah. This one is from Nelson Mandela. I've just got to tell you that. I am fundamentally an optimist. Whether that comes from nature or nurture, I cannot say. Part of being an optimist, or part of being optimistic, is keeping one's head pointed toward the sun, one's feet moving forward. There were many dark moments when my faith in humanity was sorely tested, but I would not and could not give myself up to despair. That way leads to defeat and death. Wow. Helen Keller said this, "Be of good cheer. Do not think of today's failures, but of the success that may come tomorrow. You have set yourselves a difficult task, but you will succeed if you persevere, and you will find a joy in overcoming obstacles. Remember, no effort that we make to attain something beautiful is ever lost." Well, we got just a couple minutes left. I want to share another thing that I have treasured over the years. I don't know where I read it, or heard it in a movie. I don't know. But one of the greatest definitions of success, here it is. Success is when you go from one failure to another without losing your enthusiasm. Success is when you go from one failure to another without losing your enthusiasm. And I got to use myself as an example. I've been writing books. I've had two published. I've had I could probably plaster a wall with rejection letters from publishers, okay? But I just keep writing. Why? Because I haven't lost my enthusiasm. And just this week, I sent a book I have completed, and I've gone through many editions, rewrites. It's called The Heart of Jesus and the Coming Relationship, and I sent it to a publisher, actually to Amazon's CreateSpace, who are going to publish it. And then I've got other books I'm going to get published, too. I'm just going to do it. Why? Because I still have enthusiasm. That's what you have to have today. Success is going from one failure to another without losing your enthusiasm, and there's no reason you need to ever lose it. Persevere. If you don't persevere, if you give up, it's not going to happen. Why? Because it wouldn't happen. No, because you gave up. God will never give up on you. That's the good word. Now, if you'd like to hear this show, I'm going to put it on my website later today at drhalgreen.com. 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 Thank God. God will not give up on us. Don't give up on yourself, my friends. Blessings.
KWPC, K236CF Muscatine. Available everywhere you go. Download our free mobile app, voiceofmuscatine.com.